This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Matthias, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing. So we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Welcome to part one of News and the Joy of Writing, a conversation with Heather Robertson. In this episode of the Doc and Guru podcast, we chat with veteran journalist and editor of Daily Maverick 168 about the road increasingly less travelled by journalists and advertisers alike, the world of news and newspapers in a digital landscape.
Well, welcome to all the listeners again this week. It's Doc and Guru podcast time, and the guru is flying solo on this one because the doc is skiving off in Cape Town again and having a good time. So, Doc, hope you're not feeling too guilty. And, of course, as is always the case, being an Arsenal supporter show, we will not lower standards and poke fun at people like Manchester United and Liverpool who are just dropping points all over. We're way above that sort of thing. And I definitely can't do it today because our guest today is the editor of Daily Maverick 168, DM 168, Heather Robertson, and she frowns upon frivolous treatment of news. So, Heather, welcome. Great to have you here. I'm hugely intimidated looking at your track record in journalism that I should be interviewing you. So I almost feel like I should sit quietly and you can ask the questions. But welcome, and thanks for making the time.
Oh, great to be here.
I'm looking at your, and I'm making light of it, but I mean your track record in journalism speaks for itself. Editor of the Herald, Weekend Post, deputy editor of the Sunday Times. You've edited magazines, Elle magazine. I mean, it's just a long-standing, am I allowed to say, 30-year track record of performance in this sector. I think our listeners would be really interested to hear a little bit about that journey because I'm sure a lot of that covered the struggle politics, protest politics, and now we've gone from that to building the nation. So handing over to Heather, let the professionals
fixing
take
the
over.
Fixing the broken nation. I started off as a journalist in the 80s. I was studying to be a teacher at UCT, but I always wanted to be a journalist. And an opportunity came around through the struggles. A friend of mine who was a communicator in the UDF spoke to me about this new newspaper that was starting. I said, oh, wow, it's an opportunity for me to actually get some skin in the game. And that was South Newspaper. Which was sponsored by the Nordic countries and started off an anti-apartheid newspaper. The coolest thing about it was that started something totally new. I was the arts and culture editor, and at that stage in Cape Town, hip-hop was really flourishing, and I got a chance that the mainstream weren't really even thinking about hip-hop. So I started writing. I went to record bars, recruited journalists like Karen Rutter, who were selling records in a record bar. It was fantastic. So I started this really cool young team of people, and we took to culture very seriously. There was the ink conscription campaign, massive protest concerts, and this South, we call it Southside, the arts and culture section, reflected this movement, this counter cultural movement that wasn't just, and whereas the serious journalists obviously dealt with the hardcore harassment, abuse, detention, murder, mayhem that happened under apartheid. We actually recorded the youth. We were young at that time. So that was my baptism of fire into journalism. And the other great thing was that Apple had just started around there. So while everyone else was working on really clunky equipment, we actually grooved on the first iMacs. So got straight into, I didn't have to do typewriters or anything like that.
Oh my goodness.
So we got straight into designing online so that was the beginning. And then Ken Owen had read my stuff in South, and he was the editor of the Sunday Times at the time, and he came to Cape Town and invited me to go for a walk on the beach, Seapoint side. I did, and he told me when he's going to retire, which is exactly when he did retire, and how he's going to climb Everest and all, wouldn't like to join the Sunday Times. I said okay, cool. So I left Cape Town and then we joined the Sunday Times, which was one of the most toughest periods of the journalist, because then it was I was sent to cover the Boy Patong massacre, and that was really harsh. Horrible, harsh bodies on the floor. And he also kept on sending me. His wife was a lawyer, and everyone was very nervous about being assigned his wife's stories, because he had to be very meticulous. And then I was the young kid on the block, and sends me off to Lebowa Goma. There's an interesting thing about corruption, because there was massive corruption under apartheid, and so he sent me to uncover this with my friend, who's pastor Herbert Mabuza, photographer. Massive, massive, massive corruption, stolen cars, all sorts of nonsense. So, having investigated that stuff and covered that stuff then, and this was 92, makes me realize where we are now. Because the new government basically was an assimilation of all the shit. And all the corruption, all the... That existed in all those various apartheid structures, including all the home and government. It was just all amalgamated into one thing. And so I think we inherited a disease that's really choking us, obviously, now. So that's okay. And then I constantly vacillated between... I'm a poet, so I've vacillated between doing the serious stuff and being more creative. So I've always moved between newspapers and magazines. And I love launching. I love starting new things. I'm addicted to it. So I was invited by John Twelani to start Tribute Magazine all over again, and there's some features editor there. And there was a really nice, young, vibrant team. Worked with Patty McDonald, who was a designer at South, moved on. She actually was responsible for designing our coat of arms. She worked at GCS.
I remember her back in those days, being part of that.
She redesigned the Sowetan as well. Yeah. So we've worked from South to Tribute, Sunday Times, Elle Magazine as well, because she was the art director there. Shona Bagley was the editor of Elle and invited me to come on, I freelance quite a bit in between.
We'll call it a side hustle these days. Freelance was the overarching phrase.
I worked at the Johannesburg Arts, which was a fantastic time, that's early 90s, at the Johannesburg Arts Festival. And when they had the Biennale, and all this amazing artists coming from all over the world, spectacular work. I produced the publication as a tabloid publication that was inserted into the Mail and Guardian, and did the PR for them when I during my one of my side hustle interim phases between jobs, and when I was there, Shona Bagley had asked me to. God, I love the arts, but I'm just not a fashionista at all. She's like, but I want you to like create like good journalism, do good features, and we'll mix it up with the fashion. And the, so it was quite a team. It was Dion Chang, who's now, Cassie Naidoo, who I've called on to, who's the well-known art director and advertising agency. So she was a deputy art director to Patty McDonald. Brendan Cooper was like, we went on to edit quite a few men's magazines as well, and we had a lot of fun. I mean, that magazine, I mean, it's never sold as much as it did when we in those first few years, because it was that mixture of like tapping into where we were as a society and then sort of playing into the aspirational, you know, fashionista stuff, and also being like, you know, taking the piss as well as being serious. And is that sort of...
Well, that's something which I think is increasingly problematic. You know, we you know, I'm taking no stance on work behavior, but I certainly have a view that, you know, work behavior, generally speaking, doesn't invite you to take the piss out of anybody about anything at all. I would have thought a liberated thought process would open up the narrative about taking the piss. But, I mean, that's an aside. But I think... What's interesting in listening to you is we've got to remember that, you know, we're talking Sunday Times. Back in those days, Sunday Times had a circulation of 500,000. Yes. I think, you know, 600.
It was almost 600. Well, that was, 600. So I'd left, after L, I went to Sunday World because I wanted to get back into the new. It was a new newspaper. Sunday World wasn't the sensational sort of. Celebrity focus.
It wasn't Shwashwi. I mean, it was the Sowetan.
So it was actually a broadsheet. And then that's where I met Mondli Makanya, who eventually I was deputy to at Sunday World, and gained great respect for him there. Fred Kumalo. It was a fantastic team. Again, that's the amazing thing about this career is the people that I've met and worked with. Lucas Ladwaba, who I still work with now, he used to write this fantastic. Satirical newsletter every single week, taking the piss out of all of us, and who would email it to all of us. And then I've just reminded him of that now, because now he's actually set up Mukurukuru Media. He runs his own little media outfit in Limpopo. So I said, Lucas, remember when you were Mr. Styles and you used to kill us, you know, every single week, like after deadline? I said, I don't think I've got it. I said, I bet you still got it. So now he writes a monthly column, which
wonderful.
This week in Daily Maverick was our social media and analytics editor, Aletlo, said, like, actually had the biggest hits on the website.
Well, let's talk about that now, because, I mean, this is where you are right now. And what intrigues me, again, is that, you were obviously preparing yourself and getting ahead of the curve, because you went back to your alma mater, I think, and did your master's there in digital media master's degree, which obviously, so did you see it coming? You know, what were the signs? Were you just studying global trends, or
So I was in the thick of it. Started at the Sunday Times. I was put in charge of moving dinosaurs onto online, and it started off in a fun way. So when I left Sunday World to join the Sunday Times, and I joined Stephen Hoare and Andrew Unsworth in what was called the Sunday Times Explorer Project, sponsored by Toyota, SA Tourism Board.
Yes,
SA Tourism in those days. And what we had done, it was an amazing exercise. One in, you know, the context of the time. Also, remember there was all those investigations into remember the Bob Pachiana's investigation into racism in the media. So it was a great exercise in actually getting people to know each other. Mm. What we did is, like, there was this great Toyota Land Cruiser, and it would be one of the editors, was either me, Stephen, or Andrew, and we'd lead a trip. It was very well researched. We'd carve a journey from one part of, started off at the cradle, with humankind, and then we did the entire country. And we'd all do a week stretch at the time, but every two journalists from the team would go with, and a photographer would go with one of us. And we'd go for 3 months at a time, and we'd swap, we'd rotate journalists, and they'd write. And how this connects to online is that we got them, everybody into the habit, so we would write a daily diary, and the journalist would do, we'd go like, bar of the day, most interesting character of the day. This would, we would report the country as we traveled it in a very, you know, like, absolute, like, explorer kind of way. Mm. So to get the journalists into the habit of, you know, hey, we've got to do this. This was in 2000. Mm. We've got to actually, this internet exists. You know, we've got to actually prove. Some people have kicked and screamed, and then at the end of it, we would write sort of long form journals in the lifestyle section of the Sunday Times, whether it's historical or interview with interesting characters or So after that project, I was asked to work with the team to try and get the journalists to understand that they need to actually write both for the newspaper and online. I mean, like, it's like, I mean, young journalists now think, oh my God, I mean, do they even have to, and people fought tooth and nail about it. So we're not being paid to do more. So it was a massive conflict. I mean, like, Mondley and I would do this. We'd do a podcast to actually, we'd chat about what was going to be in the paper the night before the paper came out. So I saw it coming, and then when I went to the Herald, I looked at the numbers. Started off there, I looked at the numbers, and I thought, okay, the print is going down. Whatever I do, your print is going down. There are a couple of things I needed to fix, and one was that the newspaper wasn't talking to the black middle class at all. It was very sort of English. So something needs to happen. So I called in. Helped Lynette Benjamin was
yes, remember Lynette, yep. yes,
and,
indeed,
and
yep.
sorry, and who is the deputy? He came and helped me. Sorry, I forget his name.
No, don't worry about names. You're in good company here. I mean, I can't remember the time if it's Monday or Moscow.
So I asked them to give me the market research. Who am I serving? Because I've worked in national for so long, I've never actually ever been to. Then Port Elizabeth, which is what it was called, not Gqeberha. Let me understand, who am I going to be dealing with? What are the interests? So my challenge was, okay, so what they showed me was massive, massive black readership, but they weren't buying the Herald. They were actually buying the Sunday Times and such places. So how do we leverage all of this? How do we... So we did this research. Looked at people who actually bought the paper, spoke to them, interviewed them, went into the township, and then came up with themes that people were interested in that weren't actually being covered.
Mm-hmm.
Also did something else there, which is realized that the newspaper was like, it was almost like it was an ivory tower. It wasn't connected to the people who were reading it at all. They were being talked down to. So I worked with the University of Nelson Mandela University, and they had an institute called CANRAD, the Center for Democracy and Against Racism, and we partnered, and they paid for us to go into the communities, hired community halls, had massive speakers, and we'd have these dialogues, community dialogue, which we videoed and put online. On the Herald website, so a lot of exercises. So we managed to settle the circulation, bring in. I mean, the readership did change, and then it was unbelievable. Circulation did increase, but I did notice that simultaneously the web was actually growing, but the web audience for because a lot of people leave PE to work elsewhere was outside the country. So we started publishing whatever was in the paper online, and then. My brother, who was a publisher, went closed down the website. I got these websites, I'm making money, just close them down. And I was going like, fuck,
Mike,
no.
You've been outed, but...
No. It was, I was fought tooth and nail. You cannot kill a website. I mean, this is like, it's serving people. The paper serves the people living in the city, but there's all this thinking about that. So anyway, fought one. Managed to work at the team in to work with me in the management of the team. And had a really great relationship with... with the woman in charge of the advertising department, worked together, found a local web provider, built a set of websites, kept going. And then same thing with Facebook. There was an amazing young woman who traveled Africa and came back and just knocked on my door at the Herald and said, and then name is Dorette. She said, I think I can help you. You know, I can see what you're doing. I really like what you're doing with the building the community and the readership. I think you need a better presence. I said, I do need a better presence. Mm. We do need to grow the reach, and we can move to Facebook from like 10,000 to like 1.5 million and growing, and the website. So, being in the thick of that, realizing where it was going, and that, I mean, I journalism for me is, okay, it's a service. It's a service to, not just the people who can afford to buy, but it is a service to the public. In a variety of different ways, and it's an essential service.
It's essential service for me. It's the pillar of democracy.
But it's more than this. I think what happens with journalism is we kind of trap it only into the watchdog role of democracy, but there's a lot of else, a lot more than that. And that's why I said I really want to get a grips with this. Because I saw the challenges with newspapers and owners wanting to retrenching journalists who are the pillars of making this thing work.
Yeah.
You know, constantly we every year you've got to cut down the stuff. I mean, it's soul destroying because you're trying to build and create something to serve a community of readers and it's working, and then you get told cut because we're not making enough money out of it. So that's why I wanted to actually. I said, look, we are going digital, and I want to understand globally. And Professor Harry Dugmore had just he was experimenting at Rhodes, in a master's in digital journalism, and he put the word out. So 12 of us, who were actually all professional journalists and editors, applied. So it was really amazing.
So you had a nice peer group as well, because that's the joy of learning, is peer exchange, isn't it?
Gus Silber was with me.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Sheena Adams, who was then deputy editor of Destiny.
So you can teach.
Andre Host was the editor of graphics at News 24. Yes. It was an amazing group of people. And Michael Scholes Riedel was there, because it was a real online guru. So it was a group of younger, older, and we were put into... We had working groups. We worked on projects together. Long before COVID and distance working, we worked online.
Yeah.
Because obviously we had full time jobs, and so it was a fantastic learning experience. But also, it got me. And then I'd left the Herald. It gave me that time to just reflect on what was I actually doing in this journalism thing? What was it for? What was its purpose? What was going wrong in journalism? And I think owners who are disconnected from the actual service role, I think owners who kind of like, they hang on to a particular model, like newspapers, for example, like hold, because it is a cash cow, and it made, I mean, like the Sunday Times, 500,000. My God, why would you ever want to do something online?
Yeah.
Not being forward thinking enough to realize that actually, you know, I mean, this little gadget, the smartphone,
changed everything. And I think, you know, I mean, you've raised so many points there which are worth addressing. So, for me, one of the key points is the joy of writing. So you made the observation, you know, I said pillar of democracy, and I think it's a crucial role. And, you know, talking back in those days of 500,000 circulations and things like that, was also the days where you had the, you know, and we talked about it last week with Stan Katz, redacted front pages, you know, whole stories were redacted. I mean, that's the alternative sort of lens, you know, sort of post-apocalyptic, kind of thing. But the joy of writing for me is something, and I want to just talk a bit about the Daily Maverick once, except because we had Stilly Haralambos on, you know, a year or two ago when he just got starting. And for me, there's a ritual that Susie White knows about. Susie, the ad manager. I go for a walk.
And my publisher. And the publisher.
Yeah. So I walk down to the Pick and Pay every day, and I get my free copy, and I walk back. And I rediscovered the joy of reading a weekly newspaper over a couple of days. Two questions. One, is there a difference between writing for a newspaper, the printed edition versus online? Do you have more time to express the joy of writing?
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.